B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
On the line with us right now, our good friend, Mr. Paul Hudrick, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Paulie, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. So let me just set the scene. Last night, no Sixers game. Paul Hudrick, probably sitting back, relaxing, enjoying his life. You live your best life all the time, my friend. And then all of a sudden, little tweet comes out from Joel Embiid that ignites the fan base in a great conflagration, if you will. What was your reaction? Where were you when you saw all this stuff start to get stirred up?
So you didn't want to talk about the Clippers tonight?
Not yet. We'll get there. Don't you worry.
As you know, I've been doing some serious adulting in my life lately, so I was doing some of that.
Yeah.
And that comes down, and my reaction is, you know, first of all, he's clearly the wrong DC Comics character, because as you know, I'm a Batman enthusiast.
Yes.
He should probably be quoting the Joker, just because of his propensity to want to troll and want to have fun and want to kind of create chaos. So maybe he's quoting the wrong guy there.
That's a good point.
But then, like, my first reaction, honestly, was about Jimmy's comment, because I see that, and it's like, because this is about the fans, right? We're assuming this is about all about the fans, you know, the shushing and you know, the villain stuff. Where on earth does Jimmy Butler get off saying that he was ever a villain to the Philadelphia sports fans? If I recall, this guy had his name chanted by the Wells Fargo Center crowd several times last year during the playoffs, during the regular season. So that part to me is like, all right, man, like, what are you going to, villains were welcome here last year when you were doing that. Villains were welcome here when Elton Brand gave up, you know, Robert Covington and Dario Saric to get you. So that was a little odd to me. But my personal thing with Joel is that I think he is just kind of having fun. I don't want to look too far into it, because I think this might just be a case of Joel being Joel and being the troll that he is. Maybe when he told us all that he wasn't going to troll anymore, he was actually trolling us. that's where we're at here. It's some Inception stuff. I didn't want to overreact to it too much, especially with that follow-up tweet of him, you know, basically saying, like, hey, man, like, I'm having fun with you. Like, let's have fun.
I'm on that same page. And I know that I think it's typical hot take sports radio to go down the outrage lane. But I can't help but look at it as you did. This is just a guy trying to troll an entire city. And I got to say, as of right now, before they play the Clippers tonight, this is a wonderful troll job by Joel Embiid. Now, the reason I like this so much is because I think it puts the spotlight on him above all else, where he knows he now has to perform, because it's going to go from ha ha ha, it's going to go from whatever, it's going to go from eye roll to actual venom if this backfires on him.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like, tonight he's got to have a big game. That's the thing too, Mark. If he has a big game, he does his little arm wave to the crowd, everyone goes nuts, they win, all of this just goes away. We're into the All-Star break, everyone's happy. But as you correctly pointed out, it could go south. If he has a bad game and they get run by the Clippers and the crowd turns on them again, and then we got the All-Star game to just, you know, the All-Star break to just all stew about it, that's not going to be great. He really put the spotlight on himself, where he really is going to have to come out and play, have a big game tonight. The team is going to have to come out and have a big game tonight, because the crowd's going to be ready to pounce one way or the other.
Paul, what's your starting lineup for the 76ers when they return from the All-Star break against Brooklyn on the 20th?
Well, I'm assuming that no one would like Al Horford to be in that starting lineup. And I get it. No, I get it. Listen, when they signed Al, my first thought was, I love the basketball player. Al Horford is a very good player. A lot of things I liked about him, was a thorn in the Sixers side for years. But that fit at 33 years old and a 4-year contract, and the fit next to Joel Embiid, that all worried me very, very much. And you're seeing it come to fruition. And Mark, I just heard you talk about it right before I got on, is the idea of Tobias Harris playing the four. We're all kind of focused on Joel Embiid and Al and that fit. I'm more worried about that. I think Tobias Harris is better suited with this team to be at a four, because then you can play a three that has more of the dribble, like, live ball ability to make plays on their own. Where Tobias, it's not Tobias' thing. He's either shooting or he's a straight line slasher. He's not just going to take people off the dribble. So in that regard, with this team, I don't know that he is a three. or that's his, I shouldn't say that he is in the three, but that's maybe not his best skill set for this basketball team. So I certainly would be, I would be more than open to the idea of having, you know, I guess the guy I would like to see would be Glenn Robinson III, because you don't lose much defensively, you know, with him at the three, with, you know, Benson and Josh Richardson, Glenn Robinson III. That's three pretty good wing perimeter defenders that could wreak some havoc. So I like that idea of having those three with Tobias at a four and with Joel at the five. And yeah, I mean, to me, this Al Horford thing, I think he gave it a pretty good go. We're more than 50 games into the season. It doesn't look like it's working. So if Brett Brown decides to take Al Horford out of the starting lineup, I'd be on board with it.
Yeah, and Glenn Robinson III also was a starter for Golden State this year. And I know that's not saying much, but Alec Burks was a guy who came off the bench. Glenn Robinson was the guy that was a starter for the Warriors. So that would be an easier transition for him. And look, for a guy that hasn't played with this team, he looked like he was able to find his way on the court pretty easy the other night.
Yeah, I think one thing that stood out most, and we were told about this, our guy, Monty Poole, who works for NBC Sports Bay or covers the Warriors and doing it for a long time, he told us about the idea that, you know, Glenn Robinson, his strength offensively is the way he moves without the ball. And you saw that. He made, I think, four or five just, like, excellently timed cuts. And that's something, that's a skill. That's not something it just comes out of nowhere, or it's coaching or whatever. Just kind of have that innate ability where you know, okay, I should be spotting up here to 3-point line, or okay, this looks like I have a little crack here to cut. And he's just got a real good innate ability for that. So that's very helpful when you have players like Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons that are going to take up so much attention and take up so much space in the paint. To have a guy like that can cut and do all that. Plus, you know, 40% for three definitely doesn't hurt. And like you said, Mark, you know, Glenn Robinson III started. Alec Burks, I think, is definitely better suited for the bench as a guy that can just come in, get you buckets. You know, he's a little bit streaky. So from that standpoint, I think he's a better kind of bench player to just give you some instant offense. So, yeah, I mean, you know, both of these guys look like they're going to be contributors, and they're going to be a big part of this team going forward.
Speaking with Paul Hudrick, NBC Sports Philly, is Shake Milton still in the starting lineup tonight?
I would say yes, only because.
Oh my God!
I think with the All Star break, I think he just gets one more and just even Josh in and letting that hamstring fully recover. So I would say he gets this will probably be the last one, I would assume. But yeah, and then by the time they come back from the All Star break, Josh Richardson retains his role. Shake moves back to, like, I don't know, he's gonna get pushed probably. That is like the 10th guy in the rotation, I would think, if he's still in it. So that would be my guess.
All right, everyone playing for the Clippers tonight, and is this a healthy roster coming into Philly?
As far as I know, I haven't seen anything indicating one way or the other what's going to happen there. But you know, it's a good team that's playing tonight, and it's not the easiest thing to have to go into the All-Star break to do. It could be like I said earlier, like it could go either way. If it's a win, it's huge, because then you're beating a good team in your building. You're ending the, you know, going in the All-Star break on a 3-game winning streak. Everyone's happy. If you lose, if you lose and it's a good game, it's not as bad, but it's still not great. Because this is a really good basketball team, the second best team in the Western Conference as of right now. For my money, I think when it's all said and done, is going to be the best team in the Western Conference. So this is a big time test for the Sixers.
Embiid have a big game tonight against Zubac, or is he gonna choke? What's your feeling on tonight's game for JoJo?
Well, if they try to go Zubac one-on-one with him, I think that's going to be a mistake. I would expect to see Doc Rivers send people at him all night. Mm-hmm. So it's my instinct is he comes out and he plays hard and he plays well. So whether that translates to him scoring a ton of points, I don't know. But I think he'll be active. I think he'll be engaged. I think he'll be coming out ready to play. I think from that perspective, he'll make the fans happy. What that leads to, I'm not 100% sure. But he will give them the effort and the engagement that they're looking for.
Paul, last thing for me, for you. And you, this couldn't be more perfect to have you on because you are a Batman aficionado. Who is the who is the best Batman?
Wow, that's a
don't hot take me here, Paul Hudrick.
No,
I know that you know the answer to this.
My first instinct is honestly Christian Bale.
Oh, my God. Come on.
Yeah, you want me to say Michael Keaton, and I get that. That's like 1A. It's 1 and 1A for me.
Yeah, right.
That's a tough call.
If you had to trade one or the other, Christian Bale or Michael Keaton, who would it be?
Depends on the value market.
Yeah, that's depends on the value on the market. You're right. It's always a good point. Paul Hudrick, good luck in the rest of your adulting. Congratulations to you and the lady. And the little doggy, too, my friend. Congrats on everything. And we'll be talking down the, you know, for the rest of the season.
Appreciate it, Mark. Anytime.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.